Hello, teens on the internet. You're listening to Jeff from Snack Point Charlie on WGXC Accra 90.7 FM, home of the hits.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Bernsey's Multimedia Services, providing the Hudson Valley with a variety of video production services, including help to keep those wedding memories fresh. For more information, visit BernseyMedia.com or call them at 518-860-2751 or email BernseyMMS@gmail.com, BURNSYMMS@gmail.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Letitia in Oakland, California. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Aloha out there in Radio Land.
Hey, this is Andy, host of Crawl Up from the Fallout with Raven Sings the Blues. The show is a monthly roundup of new music, plumbing psych, folk, cosmic Americana, indie, garage, and exploratory titles alongside enough classic gems to hold it all together like glue. You can tune into the show every second Tuesday of the month from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
This is Ginger Radio Hour. My name is Justin Maiman, and you're listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. I'm live in the Accra studio today. That's Thelonious Monk Quartet behind me, or under me. The song is Misterioso, recorded 70-plus years ago, live at the Five Spot. So today, I'm thinking about slow time. Patience, persistence, quiet noise, music, all building up to a theme that relates to turtles. Naturalist and author of 30-plus books, Cy Montgomery, a New Englander herself, is going to join us this hour to talk about turtles and her new book, Of Time and Turtles. But I've built a musical theme around today's show, which includes Thelonious Monk and much more, and some local music to celebrate, of course, our ongoing pledge drive, which is dedicated this fall to local music. Much more on that coming up. But remember, anytime you want to become a sustaining member of WGXC, just go to WGXC.org. Click donate. I'm a sustaining member. And there are many reasons for that, which I'll talk about later this hour. Until then, think about time and listen to the music. Misterioso by the Thelonious Monk Quartet, recorded in 1958. Next up, Low with the track Take Your Time. think we've successfully slowed our heart rate to an appropriate turtle beat. So I don't want to wait any longer. Let's dive right into my conversation with Cy Montgomery, the best-selling author of a whole bunch of tremendous books that I've really enjoyed. But the latest is called Of Time and Turtles, Mending the World, Shell by Shattered Shell. Cy Montgomery invites you to slip into turtle time in this book. It's deeply researched. But some of my favorite parts are the profiles of the Turtle Rescue League and other organizations and volunteers in places like Massachusetts and New York and Vermont and other places that are doing their best to save turtles and tortoises from all the terrible things that befall them. This book is chock full of facts about turtles. And I don't want to give them away here, because Cy will tell us in this conversation we had over the phone a couple weeks ago. We started out talking about, I was very interested in talking more about the patience the turtles have and really just their willingness to sit there. So that's how I kind of open it up. And here is Cy Montgomery and I talking about turtles, turtle time, persistence, and so much more.
Another thing that patience affords, that to us in the too busy, twitchy human world to holds enormous appeal, is this kind of laser focus. And when you see a turtle look you in the face, or when you see a turtle about to eat a delicious strawberry or a juicy worm, you see that intense laser focus. And I think that's something that we miss in the human world. But you need to be able to be still in order to focus. And turtles are so good at being still, at persisting. They practically embody, you know, quiet, focused courage and patience. And it's amazing what these animals have withstood throughout their long existence. They managed to survive the asteroid impact 66 million years ago that wiped out all the dinosaurs, the dominant form of life on the planet. And they have persisted through ice ages and all sorts of amazing things. And some turtles can live for hundreds of years. So they do know about time. Many of them hibernate, which in reptiles is called brumation. And again, that requires patience and faith, because you might be underground or in cold water or buried in mud for months and months on end, and your heart rate slows. Everything slows down. If you're a turtle, you're already pretty slow to begin with. And they wait it out, and then in the spring, they rise again, you know, the symbol of eternal life and resurrection. And they do it because they can patiently wait things out. And that's a lesson for us to learn, too.
Absolutely. I have become obsessed at times with imagining what they think about during that time. And I know they don't necessarily have human-style thoughts. Obviously, they have something happening, and I know that I would be overwhelmed if for 6 months I had to stay in place, maybe even if I was in a comfortable place, and just be alone with my brain and my thoughts.
Yes.
I wonder how they
And you're absolutely right. They are aware during this time, even if they're not moving, because scientists have measured their brain activity and watched that they do respond to light. Their brains are awake, at least The ones that have been tested are awake even when they're brumating. And I too, gosh, you and I both wonder what's in animals' heads. That's kind of what, whenever you care about somebody, you want to know, you know, what's it like to be you? What is it that you think about? And I often wish that I could just enter turtle time and be able to tell what they're thinking and what those thoughts feel like. But I think that they have a peace to them. Even at a time when turtles are really embattled right now, as you know, they're extremely endangered just as a group of animals, even though we often see big piles of them on logs, and we might see turtles crossing the street or turtles laying eggs in our yard. Turtles as a group, which is more than 350 species, are the most threatened land vertebrates on the planet. And yet they do have this patient calm to them. And I would love to just have a piece of that calm, you know, just a tiny sliver of that calm would be such a balm to me. And I think to anybody who lives in this hectic human world.
Yes. Well, you mentioned, you know, that you would like to get into their heads. And I did want to pay you the compliment that the book, you know, it doesn't put us inside their heads, but it gives us everything else about turtles, and that's a real gift, I think, to your readers, and to me. And
oh, bless you.
There's so much in there, but I did want to ask you, not what you learned about turtles, because you learned a tremendous amount, but maybe what surprised you, because you obviously knew a bit about turtles already, but what are those things that maybe initially as you were doing the research or working with turtles, volunteering, that you kept coming back to that was surprising to you?
Well, first, although I had kept turtles when I was little, I had those poor little red-eared turtles that everybody seemed to get if you were born in the 1950s or 60s. And as a teenager living in Virginia, you could go into the woods and find a box turtle any time in the woods. I really did not know how amazingly talented they are, and their variety. This, I was just gobsmacked. There are turtles that can beat a 10-year-old on the 100-yard dash. There are turtles who climb up into trees and sleep there. There are turtles who look like they have six eyes to confuse predators, and turtles whose shells grow in the dark. There's turtles who've been tested on laboratory mazes, and they learn them as fast as lab rats. I mean, just the facts about their powers are astonishing. There were 50 species of turtles recently tested to see if they used vocal communication, including communication below or above the threshold of human hearing. Every one of the 50 species tested of this animal that we think of as quiet, silent, used vocal communication, and some even used it as born infants still inside their eggs. They're communicating with their siblings and their mother while they were still inside the eggshell. So their powers were revealed to me in this research. And the other thing that just gobsmacked me was that turtles can sustain an awful lot of physical damage, but if they're taken to a wildlife rehabber who knows what they're doing, you can have a turtle that most veterinarians would say ought to be humanely euthanized. And in the right hands, that turtle can not only survive, but be released into the wild and continue breeding for decades. That amazed me.
That amazed me too. And, you know, reading some of those scenes, it was very tough. The degree to which, you know, especially the Turtle Rescue League is really like an emergency room for turtles, and
yes,
and the things that you saw in there, that you and Matt saw, but also that Natasha and Alexia, am I saying it right?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
That they deal with, especially, you know, in the spring and summer. I mean, you bring up the idea in that chapter about compassion fatigue, and I just wondered what it was like for you to be a part of that on a day-to-day basis for a bit?
Well, for me, you know, since this book was lived during the pandemic and the news was just full of gloom, it helped me tremendously to be helping try to put the world back together, even if it was one turtle's shell that day. Because the thing that is the worst, I think, for me to suffer is the feeling that the world is falling apart and I am helpless to help fix it. But I was honored to be able to take a hand in mending this broken world during a time when it felt that everything was flying apart. And that gave me agency, connected me to eternal time, and gave me joy. I mean, we saw a lot of horrible injuries. We saw needless cruelty, like Robin Hood, a big snapper who someone thought would they should shoot this turtle with a crossbow, not even an arrow, a crossbow. And he had this big crossbow sticking out of him. And that just breaks your heart. But that turtle was brought to Turtle Rescue League. An amazing volunteer went out and found him in an 8-acre wetland and carried this big snapping turtle back. And Alexia managed to extract the arrow. And Robin Hood went back to his pond that very day. And you just feel great to have any part in something like that. Being able to release healed patients, some of whom may have been in the hospital for a year or 2 years, letting them go in the wild again and seeing their joy at being let go, that just refreshes your soul. And it makes up for a lot of the sorrow and despair that you feel when innocent creatures are hurt, to have a hand in fixing it.
You just brought up the soul in it. So I'm going to quote you back to you. Sorry. But in 2020, I read How to Be a Good Creature in that spring of 2020, which was a terrible time for everyone. And I wrote about your book, especially the ways that you talk about wildness in that book, in that memoir of 13 creatures. And the quote that I wrote down for today is, knowing someone who belongs to another species can enlarge your soul in surprising ways.
Oh, I'm so glad that that resonated with you.
And that's what you just described to me is you know, that's what happened in getting to work with these turtles.
Yeah, it's really true. And what was so interesting, too, was like the last book to which I devoted years of research was Soul of an Octopus. And you could not imagine a more, you know, unlike each other two sets of animals than octopuses who live fast and die young. And, you know, they only live 3 to 5 years and they taste with their skin and they change color and shape. And they're very, very fast. And turtles, who can live for hundreds of years, live their lives with this amazing, quiet dignity, and have a whole different way of apprehending the world. And to have the honor of both friends who are octopuses teach me some of what they knew and how they knew the world, and then to come to know this common animal that everybody thinks we know, and be yet again flooded with fresh wonder by learning about this critter, I really feel like my soul has been cracked open with awe. And I feel so enriched by this. It's the animals, they just teach you everything. I'm so lucky that early on I recognized the teachers who were all around me, and they weren't just in the classroom. and they didn't just have, you know, two legs and opposable thumbs.
So can you tell us a little bit about these turtles that are in your house right now that that you're helping with?
Yeah, this is the third year that I've been head starting these baby turtles. And for a number of years, the illustrator of the book, Matt Patterson, and I have been working at a nest protection site where five species of native turtles come out of this pristine river, walk up the steep sandy slope, and amid a housing development near two baseball fields, a bunch of porta potties, and an asphalt parking lot, they do the sacred ancient work of laying their eggs. And we help protect those nests. Well, sometimes when the babies hatch out, mostly we return them right away to the river. But for some of those species that are endangered, like blandings, just to give them a little head start, we take a few of them with a state permit, and we raise them up over the winter when normally they'd be brumating and not be able to put on weight and bulk. The baby turtles are so little, they're like the size of a coin, and anyone can eat them. Chipmunks can eat them. They hold them in their little hands like they're a hamburger. It's horrible, and bite off their heads and legs. And birds eat them, crows eat them, skunks eat them. I mean, everyone eats them. Fish eat them. I've been returning hatchlings to the river, holding babies that had hatched out of incubators in my hand, and had frogs jump into the palm of my hand and try to eat them. So by giving them a head start, they are larger than, say, a fish or a frog could swallow. So they have a little bit of a leg up. And turtles really need a leg up right now. They have all the problems that every other wild animal has: habitat destruction and pollution and global climate change, which is terrible for turtles because, one, sea turtles, their beaches are disappearing due to sea rise, and two, many people don't realize that the sex of a turtle is determined by many, in many species, by temperature. So if the temperature goes up just a few degrees or even 1 or 2 degrees, all of a sudden, instead of getting a mix of males and females with the, you know, the males in the cooler part of the nest on the bottom and the females on the top, or vice versa, depending on the species, you'll get like all one species. Or worse, if the temperature goes up even more, you just get boiled eggs. So they have all of these problems. Plus, there's this deadly and illegal but rampant poaching problem for turtles. People taking them out of the wild for pets, for use for medicine, traditional Chinese medicine, which, P.S., that does, although some traditional Chinese medicine is effective and does work, none of the animals in their pharmacopoeia actually have any healing properties at all, so it doesn't help people, and it's wiping animals out. So anyway, this is why we try to give these little animals a head start. And it's hard not to want to handle them every day and make them your friend. They do recognize you, and they do look up into your face. They do know that you feed them. But in the wild, they just swim off, and they're not going to start bothering people. And it's an amazing day when you release your baby turtles into, you know, their forever home, their wild home, this gorgeous, pristine wetland where their parents came from.
What do you feed them, Sai?
Native baby turtles eat a lot more insect food and protein food than most adults. There's special turtle nestling food. They will eat little bits of fish. They can eat little bits of cooked egg. We give them these little tiny thread-thin bloodworms. we give them little dried shrimp. We give them a variety of things, and we also we put plants in their tank, and if they want to eat those plants, they do. And there's also commercial food as they get bigger that we can feed them. But what's amazing is, oh my gosh, when they see live prey, they just instantly know this is what I was supposed to have, and they just snap that right up. It's wonderful.
So how what is the degree to which they grow during the time that, that you're head starting them?
Well, they hatch out, depending on the species. I've got Blandings this year. I had Blandings last year, and before that I had painted turtles. And they were like the size of a coin. And by the time I released them, they were three or four inches long shell length. So, you know, they were too big for fish and frogs to eat, for sure. And they were really more the size of a two-year-old or a three-year-old turtle than a six-month-year-old turtle. So they were ahead of the pack. I mean, you can't remove all the dangers of living in the wild from these guys, but you can give them a little leg up. And meanwhile, it's just so wonderful to have them here in my home. And the first time I was raising baby turtles, I had paints. They were all named after painters. So they were Monet, Manet, Bonnard, and Seurat. And oh my gosh, I love these little guys so much. And while I wasn't trying to get them imprinted on me in any way, and they don't really imprint on you, they would follow my face when I hovered over them. And I got to know their behavior well enough that if I put a rock, like right over here, I knew which one of the four would really like that rock right over there. And the amazing story of my first year raising these babies was, one February day, I woke up and went downstairs to turn on the lights for them, which is like making the sun rise. They have a special heat lamp and UV light lamp. And I counted all four turtles, except I couldn't find Monet. Double check, and Monet was gone. Everyone else was around, and so I looked under the floating kale leaf, and I looked in back of the filter, and finally, I lifted up the floating dock that they used to bask on. And there was Monet. He was stuck freakishly in this suction cup that held the basking platform to the side of the tank, and it had come undone. And he was stuck there, and he'd been there God knows how long, and he had drowned. And his little neck was completely limp, and his eyes were shut, and he was pale, and he wasn't breathing. He was dead. It was horrible. And here I was supposed to be taking care of these animals and giving them a head start, and instead one was dead in my watch. But I had heard of turtle CPR, and while I had never heard it being performed on a little turtle the size of a coin, I immediately started doing turtle CPR, and I kept it up for 45 minutes. And after 45 minutes, Monet came back to life, and I released him that spring with the others.
It's incredible, Sai. I don't think most people, I mean, one of the things that I couldn't believe when I read your book was this degree to which I knew turtles live a long, long time, and that they can survive in really like strange and terrible circumstances. But they really can come back from the dead, and you show so many examples of this happening.
Yeah, and that's why Natasha and Alexia, they say their motto is never give up on a turtle. And people ask me, you know, when I was doing CPR on this little turtle, you kept it up for 45 minutes. At what point did you think, well, you're just going to give up? And I just thought, you know, this turtle isn't getting any deader than he already is. I'm just going to keep doing it till he comes back to life. And he did.
It's a good lesson in persistence.
Yes, it is. It really is. They have so much to to show us and inspire us. And, you know, it's no wonder that so many different cultures around the world have this concept of the world turtle and the turtle holding up the earth. And the more I got to know turtles and understand their role in the ecosystem and understand that, you know, many, many turtles really are the foundations of ecosystems. They feed lots of other animals. In many cases, they make a habitat for other animals, like gopher tortoises. There's over 100 species of other animals that live only in gopher tortoises' burrows. And they really are upholding the world in a way that I hope should inspire us to take our turn upholding the health of the world. And we can start by helping turtles.
I'm cracked open with awe. Cy Montgomery. And will you ever forget that story about Monet? Monet, who will outlive all of us, and came back from the dead as a baby turtle in Cy's house. So the takeaway here for me is never give up on the turtle. It's a good takeaway for all of us. I know it sounds a little bit overwhelming. Turtles face a lot of danger in this world. But Cy was very smart to end our conversation with some real calls to action, things that you and I can do every day here in the Catskills and Hudson Valley, in cities and neighborhoods and suburbs where all the turtles live, things that we can do every day to help the turtle. So here's Cy helping us, helping turtles.
Help that turtle get across and take them where they're going, not where they just were. Even if you think that there's nothing for that turtle in that direction, that turtle knows where they're going, and it might be a mother about to lay her eggs. Two, if you see a turtle hit on the road, call a turtle rehabilitator. Just Google your state wildlife authority, and they will have a list. And in the back of the book, I also have a website you can go to where you can find where there's a rehabilitator near you. Even if the turtle is dead, if the turtle is full of eggs, often that rehabilitator can harvest those eggs, incubate them, and release dozens of baby turtles next to you in the fall or the following spring. Another thing that we can do is do not accept those horrible plastic bags that are being held. I mean, they just hand them to you. Buy a stick of gum and you get a plastic bag to carry it away in. That thing's going to persist for thousands of years. It's going to serve you for 15 minutes so you don't put your groceries in there. Instead, get a paper bag or bring a cloth bag with you. Those things are absolute death on sea turtles. And even if you try to dispose of them responsibly, they end up in the ocean. They look exactly like sea turtles' favorite food, which is jellyfish, and they choke to death on them. And if you choke all the sea turtles, we're going to be up to our lips in jellyfish, my friends, because the sea turtles are keeping them from overpopulating. And conserve wetlands. Let's protect the wetlands where our turtles live. If you want a pet turtle, there's species that make excellent pets and others that should not be sold at all and may be sold to you illegally. So first find out, you know, what kind of care a turtle needs if you're adopting it. Best of all, you can adopt an unwanted turtle from a place like Turtle Rescue League. So those are some things that we all can do to help the turtles around us.
I want to thank Cy Montgomery for spending the time and educating us all on turtles and tortoises. By the way, all tortoises are turtles. Let me turn that down. All tortoises are turtles, but not all turtles are tortoises. And please remember, like Cy just told us, if you see a turtle crossing the road, pull over, help it cross the street. But make sure that you take it across in the direction it was already going. Otherwise, it's just going to head back out on that road. It needs to cross the road, maybe to lay some eggs or get to a pond. So help it out. And go read Cy Montgomery's book of Time and Turtles. It'll fill you with fresh wonder. Let's listen to some more music. Cocky with Vaseline Machine Gun. I want to thank everybody for listening today to Ginger Radio Hour live here on WGXC in the Acra studio. Massacre on 90.7 FM. And I want to remind you that October 7th, we'll be hosting a local music marathon as part of our pledge drive. We're really trying to highlight all of the incredible local music happening in our counties, Greene County, Columbia County, all the Catskills and Hudson Valley. So tune in October 7th for that. And as part of my way to celebrate local music, I wanted to end today with a track from Florist, who I brought in about a year ago, a little bit more, to interview around their latest album. They, of course, recorded their latest album here in the Catskills. Anyway, I'm going to play a track in just one moment, and then that's it for me. But here's one thing you can do. Go to WGXC.org and click the donate button. You can become a sustaining donor today, just like me. Just give a little bit of money every single month in order to support your community and community radio. It's very important, I think, and it brings people lots of joy, including me. So, thanks for listening. Here is Florist.
Set on fire before I could even swallow my own spit. I was born a boy with many opinions, and now I'm a girl who doesn't really care about anything. This beautiful thing happens every day. It's called the sun, it's called my blood, and it's the only thing making us want to be alive. I'm really grateful for the people I've met, but that won't make me die any less. A mound of dust that light somehow seeps through and creates you. Thank you. Falling at the perfect speed. The rain is falling at the perfect speed. The cars are driving at the perfect speed. My legs are moving at the perfect speed. My arm is moving at the perfect speed.